And I say, or I would repeat it. So please give a warm welcome to my friend Dale E. from Pennsylvania, but currently New Jersey.
I love you, Sonny. Thank you so much. My name is Dale, and I'm an alcoholic. And just to give you a short story, one day I answered the phone, and this lady said, "Hi, this is Sonny from Florida." And I thought, "Okay, who's this?" And she was her sponsor or whoever had told her she had to make three phone calls that day. And I was one of her phone calls. And we've become fast friends because of that. And that is the beauty of Zoom, the real beauty of Zoom. And it's been a while. It's been a while. And it makes me so grateful. I look at you and I see you and I feel like I know you forever. And that's just the beauty of AA. I wanted to talk about this one woman who I learned about just recently, and I thought that I would pass it on because that's part of the 12th step. And her name was Florence R. I do not know her last name. She wrote the story of Feminine Victory, which is in the first edition of the Big Book and was never ever again printed in the Big Book. And I went to a conference about this woman at Stepping Stones, which is where Bill and Lois used to live, for anyone who's new. And the woman who did the presentation had done enormous research on this lady. She lived from 1894 to 1943. She was sober. She was in the program for 15 years as the only woman before Marty Mann. And no one talks about her. She's like this lost soul. And she was so courageous. I mean, first, she was the only woman. And secondly, she went around and did 12-step work. And she had a hard time staying sober. She would, every once in a while have a drink or two. But Lois and Bill took care of her. Lois came to visit her in Bellevue Hospital when they called and said, "We have this woman here we don't know what to do with." And Lois came and she took her home with her. And then she would have conversations with Bill. And in her story, which in this book, I have her story because it's called Experience, Strength, and Hope. And it's done by, it's all the stories in the Big Book that are no longer in the Big Book. So you can get it from General Service Office. And so every she puts L as Lois and B as Bill, but and she's talking to them and they're trying to help her why she keeps picking up a drink or she and then Bill tells her to go to Washington, D.C. and start a meeting there. I mean, here's this woman all by herself in the 1930s, almost 40, going around by herself trying to promote AA. It's truly amazing. So I will say if you want more information, I will let you know the next Stepping Stones conference. And if you look, if you get yourself on a list where they send you all this information, some of it is like a lot of, la, 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 but some of it is incredibly fascinating, of AA's history and how, especially about the women in AA, because the women in AA in the beginning were really few and far between. And I thank them for their service because I might not be here if it wasn't for them. At the end of her story, she says, "I know that my victory is none of my human doing. I know that I must keep myself worthy of divine help. And the glorious thing is this: I am free, I am happy, and perhaps I am going to have the blessed opportunity of passing it on." And that to me is what the 12th step is all about, passing it on. I mean, you can have 5 days and someone comes in the fellowship with one day and you can say, "Welcome. I'm so happy you're here." It doesn't have to be like this big dissertation about the Big Book. Because when I first When I first came to AA, people talked about the big book. I was looking for a big book. It was, I mean, what would you think? I had no clue. They were calling me Mocus. I looked it up in the dictionary. There's no such word. My sponsor laughed at me and said, Dale, that's like an AA word. I was like, why now? How would I know this? And I was completely drunk the first time I came to a meeting in a blackout in my pajamas in February in New York City. So, you know, it was cold. I'm not the kind of person that doesn't get dressed without my earrings and my lipstick. Oh my God. And I was just a mess. But I got everything that this fellowship stands for. I had a million numbers in my pocket on little pieces of paper. No, we did not have cell phones in 1984. In fact, we used the phone booth. In fact, I knew everyone's number by heart. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I knew everyone's number by heart. Now I don't even know my own sister's number. I had a dime in my shoe. Now I'm really dating myself. And because that's what my sponsor told me to do. So I always had a dime in my shoe, so I would always be able to call somebody if I was in trouble. And then it went up to a quarter. And you know, the thing I heard people say to me at the 79th Street workshop was, please come back tomorrow. Please come back tomorrow. And all these old guys that sat in the back, and they all had these weird nicknames like Howie Pineapple, and I mean all these weird nicknames. And they were just like, we're gonna get you. Just come back. We're gonna get you. And I had no idea what they were talking about. I really didn't. And I was crying and oh my God, you know, it was typical one day, first day. And at the but the at the very end of the meeting, I was sitting in the front row. I did what the man at Intergroup told me to do, even in a blackout. He said, sit in the front row, and I did that. And I this is what I'm told I did. I stood up, and I had long hair, so it was all on my face, and I was sobbing, and I said, my name is Dale, and I'm an alcoholic, and I need help. And I probably haven't spoken such profound words for the rest of my, maybe I have, but those were really important words. I finally said, I'm an alcoholic, even though I knew it for a long time. I knew I was an alcoholic. I knew I was in trouble. And it took getting fired from a job, which absolutely. Oh my God, my ego was destroyed. And the man that fired me said, Dale, what can we do for you? We know you're in trouble. We'll send you to a rehab. And I just looked at him and said, I'm fine. Are you kidding? I'm perfectly fine. And I walked out with my big bag of shoes, because I always had shoes under my desk and lipstick and God only knows what else, got on the elevator. Did not cry until I got in the cab to go home. But what did I do? I stopped at the dealer's house to get some blow, and then I went to the liquor store and got a gallon of wine. And that's how I celebrated getting fired from a job that I loved. What a sad thing. I mean, I loved that job. And when I look back, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I did something so incredibly stupid. But I couldn't admit to him that he knew we had just had a big Christmas party and I was completely smashed. And they knew. And I just looked him up recently, last year, because I wanted to call him and tell him I was sober. And he had passed away. And I was very sad to see that. So I made my amends in a prayer. But, you know, I really wanted to talk to him and say, you did say you planted a seed, even though I wasn't ready. And I had a lot of people that did that, a lot of people that loved me, that really wanted me to be well. And I just I was just so defiant and rebellious. God forbid I would tell you something was wrong with me. And that's all throughout the whole step book. It's all throughout the whole big book. How defiant and rebellious we are. And we don't want to be told what to do. And we don't want anyone, we don't want help even. It's in the 12th step, there is something pretty important about working with others, and it's on page 89 in the big book, and it says, "Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up around you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives." And I have to say, coffee, going to coffee after the meeting was a tremendous 12 step work for me and work given to me because I didn't talk in meetings. I did not talk. I did not raise my, I still do not. I still am very private about what I share. And it's not that I don't trust everybody. It's not that at all. It's that I have a sponsor and I have special friends that I talk to about my life. And I don't need to blast it out in a meeting. I'm sober long enough that I want people to know that it's about being grateful and it's about being, okay. I may have issues going on, but I'm okay. For the past 3 years, my husband's been really sick. It's been really tough. We're married 21 years and he changed a lot in the past 3 years. And I have to have a lot of compassion for that because I'm not sick. And I always think to myself, how would I feel? What would I be like? And I know I would be a bitch on wheels. Excuse my language. He is not anything like I am. He is at least just moody and depressed, but I would be like, oh, I forget it. I don't want to even think about it. But I would call people. When I get in trouble is when I stop calling, is when I stop texting, is when I kind of go in and I don't, it's like go, it's I don't say go away, but I have that wall up. Like I'm not approachable. And I try really hard to keep that wall down because that's kind of like my snob wall, where I worked in these big fancy jobs and thought I was like, la la, the cat's meow. And I had to really get rid of all that because it has nothing to do with being sober. And I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, I really do believe, because I didn't go to college till I was 40, and that wasn't even on my bucket list. But what happens in AA is that I take what I learn out there. It's easy for me to do the principles with you guys in here. Excuse me. But when I'm out there and somebody tells me, "Oh, Miss Dale, well, we misunderstood each other, and my son is not going to come and work with you until May because blah, 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 blah. And I had him slated for April, and I changed students around for him, for his time." And I have to know how to say, okay, I can work with that. And then I did let her know. I said, I think we had a misunderstanding because I wanted to clear the air because I was really angry. I was like seething. And I thought, and I don't need the money. It's not about the money. It was all about the principle that we didn't understand each other about the time. It was really foolish. And I got myself all crazy. And my sponsor says, "Dale, someday you are going to learn that it is not that important." And every time now I think about getting myself a little nutty, I think it is not that important. And that's 12-step work because I'm out there doing, showing, I'm out there as an example of Alcoholics Anonymous, even though none of my parents or students know I am in Alcoholics Anonymous. It is unnecessary. It would do me no good. It would do them no good. I am very, very, my anonymity is like, it means everything to me. I remember when I first got sober, my sister was really proud of me. She worked on the Macy's Day Thanksgiving parade and told everyone, "My sister's sober." She was proud. And I was like, okay. And actually, I did help some people from that happening, but she didn't understand that it wasn't okay. And I had to forgive her because she's not an AA. She's not one of, I'm the only person in my family in Alcoholics Anonymous, which is kind of amazing. I mean, I didn't grow up in an alcoholic home. My dad would periodically drink, but he was not violent. He never didn't go to work. I grew up in a very privileged household. My father believed in taking us across country every year. He had a lot of vacation time, which he was very fortunate. And so when I was little and growing up, I was privileged to see every single park in the United States before they got incredibly crowded and insane. But you know, those are the things I thank my parents for. My parents had a very, very difficult time when I went into AA, even though they couldn't stand me when I was drinking. And I had a letter from my mother never to call again. And she didn't speak to me for almost a year because I had called her in a blackout because they had retired and moved to California from New York. And yet, when I told them I was sober, they didn't want me to tell anybody I was sober. Go figure. People are so strange, right? People are so strange. But you know, then there's a part of the 12 step that is about the principles. So, what about the practice of the principles in all our affairs? And I know I just touched on it a little bit with taking it out there. But please, you know, one of the things I really had to learn is that it's about progress, not perfection. Nah, and you know, being a real good alcoholic, I want it to be perfect. I want it to be perfect. I was telling Sonny and Jill when I came on the meeting for the first, I mean, this is the first time in all the years since 1984 that I texted all my friends just to let them know I was speaking. I never, ever did that. I might call my sponsor but usually it may come out in conversation, but I usually don't tell people. And I was really proud of myself. We have this one group chat in our group that I don't even know who's on it. I had no idea who I sent this text to. It was all these numbers I don't even have in my phone. So, you know, I mean, sharing and caring and being there for the newcomer and having your hand out and just, you know, even just to say hello, even just to say, please come back. Even those words, I mean, I know at the end of my drinking, nobody was telling me to come back. And besides, I was drinking alone in my apartment. So, and the man in the liquor store didn't care less. You know, I thought he was like worried about me. Which I hear so many people say, you know, with like they go and we go to another liquor store. I mean, I was paying him at the end with pennies. It was pathetic. And I think to myself, my God, I would never do that today. I would be dying in sobriety to do that unless I was just like, I don't know. I guess it could happen. But you know, I just had my stepson just had a baby. His wife just had a baby, and my husband and I got to go to California to see her. And that, you know, the gift of that, for I don't have children, although I have like an adopted child. With my sister adopted two girls, and I brought them up for a long time, so they still, I'm like mom too. But this is the gift. This is the gift. I'm just so grateful that I'm alive and I'm sober, because there was a, I mean, I'm sure there was a time I would never have watched any of these children had I been drinking. I can only say, if you're new, please keep coming back. If you're coming back from a relapse or a slip or whatever you want to call it, please keep coming back. You can get well again. It isn't the end of the earth. I mean, we love you. This program is about love. And that's what I believe. I mean, that's probably why I love the program so much, because I'm an old hippie and I love being like love, peace, love, and rock and roll. I'll leave off the drugs. I was working with a student last night who's in seventh grade, and he's just adorable. I adore him. And he said, "Well, Miss Dale, I have to write a paper on 1967." And I thought, 1967, I can tell you everything about 1967. And what's the first thing? I couldn't tell him. I couldn't remember who the president was. I was so embarrassed. I was like, I had to really think. But those are my gifts too. I never want to stop working. I never want to stop being involved with the kids I'm involved with. I have students from second grade to ninth grade. And it's only 10. I could not do more than 10. So they teach me, and I let them know that they teach me, and that's a big deal. Like, we're teaching you, but one-on-one with a student, if I wish I had had that when I was growing up. I mean, I can see the difference in how much they can take in and learn when we discuss something. Just discuss it. And they're reading books that I never heard of, because when I was in, they weren't written. I mean, he's reading a book that was written in 2007. So of course I didn't read this book when I was in school. But you can accomplish anything. I mean, I went to college in sobriety, something I never ever thought I would do. It was like, get me out of high school, please. I can't be here. And I was smoking pot every day. It was like, get me out of here. I hate it. And I just started working. I moved into New York City, started working, and always was in the right place for at the right time for the right job. I don't know why, but I was lucky. And then people, I moved to the village, Greenwich Village, and the AIDS crisis came to New York. And without, I don't know what else to call it, really. It was so awful. And people in AA, a lot of people were dying of this disease. And at that time, of course, there was only AZT. There was nothing else. And it was a time of a great sorrow, great sorrow. I mean, people were sober and they were dying. They did not go out and drink. And I got involved in visiting people in the hospital, and I met this neurologist who said, "You need to go to college." I was like, "Who are you?" But I listened to him, and I started going to college, and I actually loved it. And I found out at 40 years old that I was not stupid, because I always thought that I was not smart enough. Because I didn't apply myself. Here I was stoned every day. I wasn't interested. I was like boy crazy. Who knows? But going to college older is very different, and I loved it. I loved it. And then I went on for my master's degree, and then I went on for another master's degree. And I just love learning. I think that when I stop learning, I'm not here on this earth anymore. I learned from you guys. I learned from it, because the other thing is, I know I'm talking a lot right now, but I usually listen. And listen and silent have the same letters in them. So, you know, when I learned that, I thought, okay, because they used to tell us in the old days, take the cotton out of your mouth and put it in your ears and listen. You don't have anything to teach us. We're going to teach you. And in a way, that was really true. I mean, I didn't know about the program. These guys did. So I'm watching the time. And do I really have 5 more minutes? I mean, really? I don't know. 5 more minutes. This is like a long time to speak. Well, I thank all of you for coming today. It really touches my heart who I see here today. And it just touches my heart that I have friends that I have met on Zoom. I met some friends in California when I went. I met Panay, I met Renee, and unfortunately, I didn't get to see Michael B. And that was my one really sad thing because I got this altitude weird thing. Next time, Michael, I promise. But you know, we had so much fun. We had lunch on the beach. It was like we knew each other forever. And I met them on Zoom. I mean, what a gift. How would I meet two women who live in California and I live in New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, all three on Zoom, you know? And so I look at this as the greatest gift that came from COVID, even though COVID was a horrible, horrible thing. And that we times about a week into the pandemic that Alcoholics Anonymous was the first organization to get up and running on Zoom as fast as possible. And I thought, yes, that's the program I'm in. Because it was really hard. I had to get onto Zoom with all these kids. Oh my goodness, I was still working. And it was really challenging being on Zoom with like 20 kids. They had turned the camera off and on and all, do all this crazy stuff. But you know, I think it was a time where we all learned a lot. And I'm hoping we learned a lot because I do remember the quiet and like the stars. You know, the things that I didn't see every day that happened, because my higher power is nature, my higher power is the universe, my higher power is out or everywhere, my higher power is in me and everywhere. And I have the choice to either tap into it or not. It's my choice. And you know, I have most all of the children that I work with are from their parents are from India, and you know, all of them have spiritual, they have spiritual things they do that, and because of their parents, and they're not at the age yet where they're rebelling against their parents, you know, they're still at the age where they're listening to the principles and the spiritual values. And one little boy just came back from India and he had had this humongous celebration where he was in a red tunic, he had a turban, he had all this jewelry on. And it was like, it was learning the next level of principles to be a good person. And he said to me, I have a gold thread necklace under my shirt, and that means that God is within me. He's 12. When did any of us ever say something like that when we were 12 to a grown up? And I was just like, oh my goodness, I can't believe he said that to me. And we had a whole discussion about God being within people and that some people just are, that people, there are people that, you know, don't believe and you have to respect them. And all of that culminated everything, and I think I said a lot, is the 12th step, that we be kind and compassionate, and that we remember when we see a drunk person in a meeting that they're in the right place, that they're in the right place. I get crazy when I hear people say, but they were drunk. And I'm like, so was I. And if I hadn't been told to keep coming back, I would not be here in front of you today. So, a drunk person is supposed to come to Alcoholics Anonymous. That's where they belong. And we need to have compassion and love for them. And, people that go in and out and in and out, I saw got people go in and out and in and out for years and all of a sudden get sober. Like something happened. Boom. Who knows what it was, but all of a sudden. And people would say, oh, that poor guy, that poor girl, they're, never gonna get it, blah, blah, blah. Well, they did. And the thing is to be careful about today is like there's so many horrible drugs out there. Please be careful. We just heard about three people. One of them died. Two are in the hospital from one of our guys on our home group meeting. It just frightens me, and I know that lots of people still, I mean, of course, do drugs. At least alcohol, I think, is safe at this point. So, I really love you all. I don't know you all, but I do have you in my heart, and I hope that you got something out of what I said. And thank you so much, Sonny. You know how I feel about you. Thank you.